Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And it's going to be a good one because we're talking about content marketing. That is a hot topic in today's world. But first, we want to catch you all up with our last, field trip, Stone?
And that was a lot of fun. The Hinman 2015 out at Georgia World Congress Center. And I think Lee's favorite part was what my sister-in-law Charlotte called the wet lab.
It was not my favorite, but I still have nightmares from that show.
Well, I mean, look, they have to learn how to do what they do somewhere. You can't have them practicing and learning on you. You want them to know what they're doing by the time that they operate on you.
That's right. For those who don't know, the Hinman is a big dental show. And they have all the dental stuff there, chairs, little medieval tools. I mean, isn't it amazing that the tools look like they could be in Game of Thrones? Like,
they
would fit
so
right in.
Unfair. What I actually found very refreshing and incredibly encouraging, a great deal of what was on display and being talked about at this show was actually technological solutions, marketing solutions. You know, these folks, they go to dental school. I'm sure many of them take on quite a bit of debt, invest all of that time. But I don't know that they learn that much about business and marketing. So with any luck at all, maybe some people in the dental field will be listening to our subject matter expert today, because they have as much to learn about this this business of content marketing as anybody, don't you think?
Right, absolutely. And there were quite a few people selling some help in the marketing area.
Certainly were. All right, introduce our guest, because we've got a fantastic return guest who is no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone. And I've been excited about this for some time.
All right. We have Tammy McQueen, and she is with a little organization that is turning into a big organization called SalesLoft. Welcome, Tammy.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me again. It's always a pleasure to join you guys.
And why don't you, for the three people out there who don't know what SalesLoft is up to, why don't you share a little bit about SalesLoft?
Right. Thank you. SalesLoft is the application of record for the sales development teams, allowing teams to accelerate the number of qualified appointments and demonstrations they conduct. We are a startup located in the Atlanta Tech Village, and we grew over the course of 2014 from 5 employees in January, and we closed out the year just shy of 50 employees, and we're hovering around 55 today. And also a projected growth from 200,000 annual recurring revenue last January. And we are around the 6 million mark right now.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Awesome and team.
Now, were you part of the original five or you came
a hair
later?
I was not part of the original five. I came a little bit later in June of last year.
And then what is your role in the company?
I'm the director of marketing, and I lead the team in our marketing efforts and our inbound strategies.
Now, what do you attribute the marketed team's growth to?
Oh, I got that one. I'm here to take it. No, pre-Tammy, they were well south of 4 million. Now they're over 6 million. I think we know the answer to this question.
Well, we're going to let them connect the dots, right, Tammy?
No, really and truly, it's an incredible team that's working day in and day out. And it's really attributed to the alignment of the cross collaboration between teams, whether that's between marketing, sales development, sales, client success, and engineering. And as we are all working together through this collaboration and finding ways to enable the growth of each function of each team.
And have each function of each team kind of work hand in hand instead of have an adversarial relationship,
exactly,
as some companies have an adversarial relationship between sales and marketing.
Exactly. And it's that great communication between the teams that allows us to, whether it is prepare content or any materials for each team for their specific needs. And that allows us specifically for sales development and for sales. What do we need to provide to them to give them the tools they need to close the deal or to set the demonstrations for each prospect?
And each member of each team and each team has specific, you have an actual agreement that they have to agree to in order to be collaborative, right?
Yes. Well, we recently released our sales service leader agreement, and that's right. between sales and sales development. And this allows us
first to define those two terms, please.
Right. So sales development is the biggest innovation to hit the sales process in the last decade. It really focuses on the art of specialization. Mm-hmm. The sales development team focuses primarily on setting the appointments and demos, and they prospect these leads. We use our own product. We like to say we drink our own Kool-Aid.
Sure.
And then they are passed over to the sales executives. And what they do is focus primarily on closing these deals. So it's that specialization and the separation of roles that really functions into the tools that we use.
And they have levels of accountability,
yeah.
right?
The service level agreement really speaks to what the sales development team will pass over to the sales team and that alignment between the two. It really shows that they are working together to the company's overall goals.
And not only is there alignment for the goals, it's you're holding up the sales development people as equal to the closing people.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
It's the not role a less than.
Not at all. No, not at all. It's really a super functional role, and that there is a seat at the executive table. We believe that sales development has a seat at the executive table and contributes to the overall company's goals.
Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you can have the rapid growth like you guys have had.
Exactly. And what we do is we set out ahead of each quarter and we plan a one-page strategic plan. And on this is every single department's specific metrics and goals that they are targeting that quarter. Mm-hmm. And it brings that alignment together of that we are all working toward a common goal, each within our own departments. So this is really a strategic approach for us that we're all working toward one common goal, and our own teams are working toward that as well.
And then there's an opportunity, just because someone's good at sales development, if they want to move into more of a closing role, they kind of have to earn their way up to that seat. Is that correct?
Exactly, yes. And that's what's so unique about sales development is you're able to enter the role and have a diverse set of career alternatives. So mm-hmm. you can go into sales development and you can take another approach and go into the sales executive closer role, or perhaps you can cross over to client success or a client advocate role, a client management, even marketing. You know, we are definitely open to that. And for example, our first ever sales development rep, Sean Kester, he started off in sales development, mm-hmm. built the team in incredible rapid results from that. And he has transitioned over into now he performs as the alignment between engineering, sales development, and marketing, and the go-to market strategy.
And
as
I
well.
Would imagine for the company, if a person has gone through the sales development, they have kind of a very good macro view of what the company's up to and what they can accomplish.
Right. To add to that is the pain points of what our prospects are facing. What mm-hmm. is our target audience really dealing with? What are they working with? And it really speaks toward that product and how we can help and solve the solution, how we can bring value into their lives and change their lives.
Because as you mentioned, you guys drink your own Kool-Aid. Those people are using your product every single day.
Exactly.
So they
yes.
know what's good, the bad, the ugly with it, right?
Right.
And if there's a problem, they're like, hey, you know what? I'd really like it to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then now engineering has a job to do, right? To kind of help them
for
in
sure.
that area.
Yeah.
So I'm consistently struck with the depth and breadth of content. You guys seem to be incredibly generous with what you put out into the marketplace. I'd like to find out a little bit more about why, and is there not some concern about sharing your secret sauce with potential competitors? You must have a very unique philosophy around all this at your camp, huh?
Yeah, not at all. We are very liberal, as you said, and we don't keep many secrets in terms of content. What I will say is that content marketing is the second way that we generate net new inbound leads. And we go out, and number one is our outbound prospecting through our sales development team. Number one way that we generate leads and the growth from sales off. And secondly is our content marketing strategy. So we are producing content that adds value to our audience. And that is our sole goal, is providing the content necessary for people to be able to use it and leverage it to achieve their goals and their metrics. And what we are providing is what content that we've learned from our sales development team, from our sales leaders, and how our product can enable that process through content. What are the best practices? What are the ways that would generate, you know, setting the best compensation plan, whether it's the compensation plan for your SDRs, for your AEs, your account executives, or even looking at defining a career path. It's really setting that content, providing value, and very little. You'll have a look on our blog and you'll see very little pointing toward a salesy pitch within that content. Going, looking at our ebooks as well. We recently released our entire playbook, sales development playbook, internal, that's given to every single one of our sales development reps on the first day of joining the company. This lays out absolutely everything they need to succeed as an SDR in the company using the tools we've outlined and other acceleration tools for the sales industry. So once they get that, we provided that to the world. And then we realized they needed a bit of a template to follow themselves so they can build it out and scale their company the way that SalesLoft has built out the sales development team. We created a template and gave everything and put it out there. It's gated. All we need is your name and email, and that's it, really and truly. Another piece of content that we found was really impactful was just how we run SalesLoft. What do we do? What is it that we do on a day-to-day level that has impacted the growth of the company, its people, and the lives that we are changing by leveraging the product of sales development, of prospecting accurate and targeted lists of leads? And what we've done is in that document, we share everything from the daily stand-up meetings we held from a micro level on each team to the executive leadership team as well. And then we talk about the weekly tactical meetings we hold. We provide the outline that we give. We talk about our sprints, engineering sprints, world-class engineering that we are focused on building, and the content machine where we use it to acquire customers. That's two-part, one, sales development, and two, content marketing. And we provide those templates for anyone to use. And it's really, we look at it from a perspective of adding value. How can we help other people rather than keeping it to ourselves and not gaining anything from that?
So now I have a question for you. You guys work extremely well with Salesforce, right? That's a marketing automation product that's out there. And do you find that people who are using Salesforce or any other marketing automation product, they invest in this? This is not a cheap piece of software, right? And it has tentacles into a variety of places in your organization. And they get it and they think that, oh, I bought it, so that's going to solve a problem for me. And it does solve a problem for them, but it also creates new additional problems maybe they didn't have the foresight to really understand. So now they have this big thing that's now important that everybody's told that you got to get on this and use this, but then they don't have certain things and tools to get the most out of it. Now, SalesLoft is a Chrome extension that can help them get more out of that, right? Like your software is built to help a Salesforce person get more out of Salesforce, right?
Yeah, we integrate with Salesforce, the platform. So SalesLoft Prospecting Cadence integrates with the CRM. However, we are available to folks who aren't using Salesforce as
right,
well.
Right, but any CRM.
Any CRM,
right.
Exactly.
So you're kind of agnostic for that, but Salesforce,
exactly.
you kind of had that in mind, right? Because there's so many users. I mean, it makes perfect sense. But do you find that a lot of people invest in these marketing automation tools and then now they have other problems? Like it doesn't solve all their problems just having that software. You still now have to do a lot of work to get the most out of it.
Sure, exactly. And that's the thing. What we have and what we pride ourselves on is our client success team at SalesLoft. And that was built from the ground up by one of the very, very early members, which is Katie Rogers. And she has built out this team to over 12 folks right now. And we really and truly pride ourselves on onboarding and the training of the product as well. So once you have it in your hands, it's not going to work for you.
Right. It's not a thing you just plug
exactly.
it in and all of a sudden money start shooting out the other end, right?
Tell me how that works.
Exactly. But some people in their head, they think, look, this costs a lot of money. Right. This is a big investment. Okay, we're going to do it. Okay, now where's all the money?
Yeah, and that's where the training and the art of the product comes into it. And that is what our client success team does, is they focus specifically on onboarding the team from the ground up. They equip you with the knowledge that you need, and they provide a knowledge base for any and every question that you might run into that has been built out from possibly every question we've heard.
Right.
And they provide that. They provide product updates. And there again goes the collaboration with the engineering team. They work very closely with the engineers of product features that have been released and how you can best use this tool. And it really teaches you. We're there to guide you and to teach you into the best practices and to get the most out of the tool to leverage your sales development initiatives and to grow revenue, because that's obviously what we're all at you for.
Sure. Now, as part of, like, when anybody's using these marketing automation, one of the challenges is creating this relevant content. So you guys create relevant content in the form of really putting the microscope on yourselves and sharing kind of in a very transparent way how you guys do what you do, right? That's an important chunk of your content that you create.
Right.
Now, what are some of the other areas that customers can go to mine different types of content? Because you have to create content every day. You can't just create content once in January and then just look at it again next January.
Exactly.
Right?
No, you're 100% on point.
This is something that, this is a daily activity. This is like exercise, right? You can't just do it a little bit once and then call it a day.
Exactly. That's right.
So you guys chose to mine. I'm going to just share everything about us. This is what we're up to. Here's some of the stuff we do. You can have it. Share your email address, right?
Right.
In exchange for an email address, you give them some piece of content that's important to them to help them grow.
Yes. And beyond just what we do at SalesLoft, we're really looking at the industry's best practices as well. What are some of the top influencers and leaders in the industry in sales development doing? What are they doing right? Mm-hmm. What can we learn from them ourselves, SalesLoft? What can we learn from some of the best in the business, and what can we share? We have a great partnership with a lot of the top influencers and leaders in the industry, and we want to be able to share their content as well and to collaborate with them to provide this value to our clients, to our users, and to folks who are just trying to learn to enter even into the sales development industry.
So now, so I'm just trying to kind of picture this in my head. Do you plan a month out, 90 days out, 6 months out? Do you have a year editorial calendar? How do you attack this?
Huge firm believer in the editorial calendar. You have to have one. Our team works on a quarterly basis, and that's aligned with our one-page strategic plan that outlines our quarterly priority projects. And on this quarterly priority project list, we have noted down what we want to accomplish in the quarter that will allow us to be successful. And the way that this works is we have metrics, and the entire company is focused on providing metrics that are scalable, trackable, and measurable, because you cannot track something and you cannot see the growth or the potential of its impact without measuring it.
Sure.
And what we do is the company has, I'm going off tangent here, but I'm all leading to one thing.
Okay.
And the company has a one-page strategic plan with metrics, whether that's the monthly MRR, it's your annual recurring revenue for that quarter. It's broken down into demos completed. It's broken down into net new inbound leads by revenue upgrades and from a client success team and engineering sprints completed each quarter. And so that's broken down, and that goes down to the marketing level, where I have the net new inbound leads that we need to generate that our team is focused on every quarter. And with that number, we understand that by producing X number of leads, we look to about 4,500 net new inbound leads per quarter. We need to set that number so that sales development reps can set a certain number of demos, because there's a percentage that converts from sales development into demo set, the inbounds we pass over to them. Then we know that a certain number of demos convert into opportunities and then closed won deals. And with that in mind, we are able to produce the content needed to set that number of inbound leads. And so we are focused specifically on generating content that will move the needle on that number. With that in mind, we have our editorial calendar set out for the quarter, and we have it broken down by weeks and what we want to achieve within those weeks and the number of pieces of content we want to produce. As you said, you want to produce it weekly, daily, and it needs to be a consistent message that you're putting out into the audience. Consistency is key. You have to be producing content that is valuable and that is helpful to folks on a weekly basis. We attribute a content score to each piece of collateral. For example, we assign 5 points to an infographic and to larger design pieces. We also give about a 2 and a 3 to a video that we've edited or a podcast. And then daily blogs are assigned 1 point. And then we tally this up toward the end of the quarter and we have to reach that number. For example, we produce 5 blogs per week. And then an infographic or an ebook or a case study that we're doing. And each week we have a look at, okay, what do we need to get to reach that number? So we plan out the week. We're going to do this blog, and then the weekly blog that we do on a Friday, which is a Q&A series. It gives a little bit of a human touch to the company. We profile one of the employees, and it just gives a little bit of a human nature, who we are, behind what you see on screen or what you're working with. And so, but
you mentioned partnerships with thought leaders in the industry. How does that, are they, that counts as a blog?
That will count as a blog. Say we'll host a webinar or a Google Hangout.
A guest blogger come in and do one of the influencers you've identified.
Yeah, typically we would interview them, learn some of the best practice that they would share with us, and then we'll go ahead and turn that out into a blog post that's valuable to our specific audience.
So creating the original content is important to you.
It really is.
You're not repurposing someone else's content.
And we have a healthy mix of doing both.
And then so you daily.
The team meets on a weekly basis for the content that we'll attack that week, and then we meet ahead of the quarter as well. So this week we'll meet to discuss next quarter starting on Wednesday, and we'll plan out what we want to achieve. You know, we want to produce 3 case studies and testimonials a month. And so we want to produce that on a consistent basis so that it's not all in one period of time.
Right.
And it allows us to focus our efforts on the team as well. Who's producing infographics? Who's producing blogs? What sort of resources do we need to line us up to execute properly?
And those are all internal resources?
It is. It's all internal.
And then how do you decide which channels to distribute the content on?
I'm so glad you brought that up. Distribution is key. You can have world-class content marketing, but if you can't distribute it, no one is going to see your content. And that is really huge. Focus is primarily on getting it in front of the right audience. Who needs this? You know, we can't just go out there and shout it out loud to the hills and no one hears it. So producing it and putting it in the right channels, whether that's Twitter, LinkedIn, which is a huge market for sales development professionals, VPs of sales, our audience, specifically directors, inside sales professionals, and also Facebook. You know, that's a lot of traffic goes there when they're at work. And then, you know, sharing emails. A great email campaign can go a long way in putting your message in front of the right folks. We host a newsletter that's sent out bi-monthly. And it's curated from several different sources of, again, as you said, our influencers and some of the top names in the industry who are providing this content. So it's not all about us. We really want to just share some of the best in the business with our audience.
Now, do you ever, you mentioned testimonials, or do you spend a lot of time with clients just sharing their story?
We love to share our clients' stories and definitely what they are using to leverage the products as well. And you'll see a lot more of that coming from us in Q2 and really partnering
because
with our
clients. Because that was based on your editorial calendar. You said Q2 is going to be the quarter we're going to focus on.
Yeah.
customers?
Exactly. And that is one of our Q2 initiatives, is focusing on producing overall 9 to 10 case studies, testimonials from
our
clients.
And that was in the previous quarter was what?
Previous quarter
was
6.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now, again, when you look at the year, that makes sense. You can say, okay, we're not going to get that to this in the first quarter. We're going to wait to the second quarter. We're going to hit it hard on the second quarter. Right?
Exactly. I mean, yeah. And we definitely plan out our quarter for goals that we that are stretch goals, mm-hmm. but goals that we can work toward and hit. And our team has really and truly gone over and above what our goals were this quarter and exceeded those, closing out. We have 2 days left and really so proud of the team for pushing through and making it happen this quarter.
Now, you mentioned the term gated a little while ago, and obviously you've made the conscious decision to gate some content, not gate other content. Is this the product of lively debate in the Salesforce halls, or are there specific disciplines we gate this kind of content, we don't gate this kind of content? Speak to that a little bit, if you will.
That's a great question. And really, when you gate a piece of content, and for those who aren't familiar with the term gated, is putting it behind a gate.
A virtual gate.
A gate. There are some parameters and restrictions to the content that you can access without providing a name or email or certain contact information. And this is specifically and purely for lead generation purposes. And the content that we typically put behind that is an ebook. And we don't gate our case studies. So we'd love for anyone everyone to be able to access these ebooks, how we run Sales Loft, a playbook, email templates. We provided an ebook of all the templates that our sales development reps are using.
Wow.
And so that's pretty exciting. We'd love for folks to check that out. And that's specifically what's gated. We keep our sign up and registration forms very, very simple. And this is one of the tips I would definitely give, is keep your forms as simple as possible.
Don't make that gate too hard to climb.
Exactly.
So what pieces of information do you capture?
We have our name, last name, business email address, company, and we just recently added sales team size. So this will help for gauging and measuring our marketing qualified leads. And when I say marketing qualified leads, MQL for short, is that it's gauging how qualified the marketing inbound leads are for the sales team that can convert. So what is the likelihood of them converting? What is the ratio of the inbound leads converting into closed won opportunities?
So now, is that an example, because it is a change, where maybe the sales development team said, hey, you know, it would help us out if we knew what size these companies are?
That's exactly what happened. So
they raise their hand and say, hey, why don't you add this? And that's an area of collaboration,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yes.
And that's why it's important that everybody feels comfortable to share and to give their opinion about this.
100%.
So now, part of content, in my mind, is events. Events are, to me, a form of content. You guys utilize a lot of events. Is that true?
That is true. We have about 17 to 19 events scheduled this year, and we've really ramped up. We kicked off the event tour with our Rainmaker conference earlier this year, and I was thankful to join you guys before the launch of
right.
that, and that was exciting. We had a great kickoff, and that has really led off to us hitting several cities in the market, some of which we've never been to before. Last week, we were in Austin, Texas, and was excited to get to know a little bit more about the Austin tech scene, which is right. really booming. And what we are doing is taking an account-based marketing approach to a lot of our event strategy. What the marketing team is doing...
What does that mean, account-based?
We are focusing on the company itself rather than the individual title level. So we go in at the company level, at the account level.
So can you give me an
level.
Example?
For example, we'll use Sales Loft. Say, for example, I am targeting Sales Loft or SaaS-based companies.
Right.
So we're looking at SaaS-based companies in the Atlanta area.
Right.
And we're going to target those folks at the whole level, at the company level, rather than our exact target. For example, VP of sales, VP of sales development, or sales development rep, or inside sales manager, for example.
So you're not
going after the entire company.
So how do you go after the entire company?
Great question.
You put a blimp over the company's headquarters and drop flyers from the sky?
You know we're not opposed to anything. You know we're not opposed to taking it to the next level. Well, for example, here's what we're doing with a lot of our accounts is we've set up campaigns per city. And what I'll do is use SalesLoft Prospector to go out and to prospect the companies, 30 to 50 named accounts. We're heading to San Francisco next week for the Sales Hacker Series event. Mm-hmm. And what I'll do is I'll reach out to about 30 to 50 accounts.
Okay, so these companies. Company
A that we have determined.
And they have parameters, right?
They have parameters.
There's a certain size. There's a certain number of
employees. Yes, we're after the software as a service industry.
Right.
And
so they're a software, they're a SaaS company.
SaaS company.
How many employees?
In San Francisco. And we're looking at anywhere from SMB to enterprise.
Okay. So they
And we're hyper-targeted going after the technology space, and you're in San Francisco.
Okay. So now you identified there's 250.
Exactly. Okay. There we go. Then what I'll do is I'll use SalesLoft Prospector and using our own product, go in and find the employees at those companies who match our target audience, VPs of sales, directors of sales,
right,
inside sales managers, and then look as well at the event prospectus. Who are the typical attendees of that event? Put that in prospect as well and determine a list of those attendees as well. I'll send a marketing email through Cadence and say, hey, it's not salesy at all. It's like, hey, our team is going to be in your city next week. We'd love to connect. We are sponsoring this event. Why not join us?
And what is this event? Is it like a drinking
it's a sales
event?
Hack- or it's a
like food?
What's you know, the, pizza,
what's
beer,
the, what's
and
SaaS
go together. Like, right. No, it's a great event where they host several thought leaders and industry
experts. So
there'll
be some speakers.
It's typically 3 to 4 speakers and MC.
And there'll be some demoing of the product.
Yeah, they definitely give some best practices of the industry,
right,
what they're doing in their area. And it's really just thought leaders in the space that
So it's rife with content as well,
exactly,
don't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? And then what we'll do is we'll meet with those folks and invite them to the event, hopefully share a little bit. We have a setup where we have a table, we'll be demoing the product, have some swag that we'll give out, and just connect with as many people as possible.
Right.
Listen to what some of their pain points are, what are they experiencing, and connect with our clients that are at the events as well. We want to be in touch with them, you know, really reaching out to...
But these people are new friends, right? They're not existing clients, or there's some mix of existing clients?
Yeah, the email that I'll send out through Cadence is a mix of both our clients and prospects as well. It's really just to invite them over to the event. And then we take that targeted approach through Cadence where it allows the sales development team to see who I've reached out to. I can see who they've reached out to at
right,
any given point. And then once we move over to the event, what we are doing is with a startup in the Atlanta Tech Villages Terminus, we're doing display targeting ads with them. And so we can go in and say, okay, here are the folks that we're targeting at this event. We'd like for you to run these ads on the pages that they're visiting.
Right. And which is kind of cool. And for those not familiar with Terminus, why don't you explain a little bit about the retargeting and how that works?
Yeah. So they do display retargeting on websites based on the accounts that you are targeting. And they've just integrated now with a new tool. Is not specifically retargeting, but display advertising through a Salesforce.com integration.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to see in real time who you're targeting, who you're talking to at any stage in the funnel, in the buyer's process, and provide those folks with the content right at the point at which you need it.
And which is kind of neat premise in that they don't they don't necessarily care as much about them clicking on the display ad. It's more as just a reminder that you're there and what you're offering.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, there's a call to action on each of these. And it's the impressions, it's the click-throughs, and it's definitely the engagement that you're looking for.
Sure.
And then from there, we'll go to the events. We'll set up some meetings ahead of time. And then when we get back from the event, we'll follow up and then share those leads with our sales development team so that they can go ahead and take them further along down the buyer's buying process.
And then when you're creating, speaking about, I know we've gone a little longer than we thought, but about the buyer's process, you have, some people believe in that buyer's journey, right? And that people are on different stages. Do you create content for different times in the sales cycle that the person's in, interacting with you guys?
That is a great question. And it is the ideal way to create your content is having an understanding with your sales team. And it's having that sales enablement content ready at a whim. And this is something that we will be focusing on in the next few months as well, is building out that content specifically for the sales team. What would they share at any given time in the process? Do they share a case study at this point? Do they share a blog? Do they share a webinar that we were recently on that really speaks to the content that they need that will create that next move, that will create that opportunity for them to take the next step?
And then what do you want to do now, Steph?
You can ask more questions if you want. Do you have more questions?
Oh, I have a few more questions. but first, I want to talk about, you guys have mentioned a lot of growth.
Yes.
In your organization, but you are still hiring, right?
We are still hiring, yes.
So I want to make sure we hit that point as well.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, the entire company is hiring, but specifically I'd love to speak out to marketing that we are hiring for the marketing position, specifically for content marketers. And we're looking at two specific different roles, builders and distributors. And when I say a builder, it's folks who are in the trenches creating content day in and day out, whether it's short form blogs daily or long form pieces of content, which is an ebook, white paper, testimonials, and then a specific set of skills that can distribute that content, whether that's through connecting with influencers or posting on different blogs or really being active in the community and sharing it and getting it in front of the right audience. So we're looking for content marketers, builders, and distributors. I would love to connect with Atlanta's top marketers to get you on board on our team.
Now, what are some of the qualities of a builder and what are some of the qualities of a distributor?
A builder, that's a great question. Someone who has a love for writing, who really understands the art of writing, of language, and creating a piece of content that speaks to the buyer, that understands different buyer personas. And a distributor is knowing the channels to distribute the content and creating great relationships with folks that we don't specifically have relationships with already, getting an influencer to share some content on their newsletter, for example, on their blog, on their Twitter stream. That's really, really influential for us.
Now, if I was one of those people, what would be an example I could share with you that would impress you? So if I'm a builder, what would you like to see from me to...
Some quality content that you're able to write for different channels, for different mediums, a great blog post might be a great example for us. Something that's really solid, that's persuasive, that is able to engage an audience, that tells a good story. It's not specifically the story, but how you tell it is really engaging for us.
And then a distributor, what do you want to see from me as an example of my skills?
Take some risks, not specifically the typical channels. What can you do differently to get in front of our audience? What aren't we doing? Tell us what's wrong with our current strategy. We want to know how we can be better. We know that there is so much room for growth, and we want that person to come on the team and show us what we need to do.
Great.
So while y'all been talking, I just designed a new show, Atlanta's Top Marketers, hosted by Tammy McQueen. What I'm still struggling with is whether to let her have a co-host and let you play or not, or if all she really needs is a decent engineer.
She doesn't need me.
Like, I don't know about that.
Can't you see her there, like throwing the headphones on at one of these events, or like swinging through the... So now I'm trying to get you like your picture on the side of the bus.
Can we get a pop-up banner?
But I mean, but quite seriously, absolutely. But quite seriously, you continue to want to build relationships with Atlanta's top marketers right now.
Absolutely,
you know, and then down the road, it might be, you know, the Southeast top marketers or whatever. It was just a cool vision. That's all.
That's awesome. No, and I'll say that this really lends to the team and how strong we are as a team, whether it's just the marketing team or Sales Loft as a whole. We wouldn't be where we are today, and we wouldn't have the vision of where we are going in the future without the team that we have and the culture and the core values that we really inherit, and we believe in it wholeheartedly. And that's really what drives the company. And the fact that we have that cohesion is truly a testament to our success.
I think that even when you were talking about the marketing people that you're looking for, it seems that that's philosophically aligned with how you were doing your sales.
It really is.
You divided the work amongst the prospector and the closer, mm-hmm. and in your marketing, you have the person that's creating the content and they have the person that's distributing the content.
It really
Whereas
is.
Whereas before, maybe that person always had to be the same person, and that person has
it's
strengths
a different
and weaknesses.
Skill set.
Right.
Exactly.
So it's very important for the Sales Loft people, it seems, to really align the people with their strengths and let them maximize those skills.
That's so true. And from a leadership perspective, everyone in the company who's in a leadership role or who is working toward that understands that, number one, we have the company at the forefront. That's mm-hmm. who we are all aiming toward and seeing the success of the company. But number two, as a leader, I am not successful unless I am providing my team with the resources and the growth and the potential for them to reach the next stage in their career and to build them as employees and leaders. That is what makes us successful, is providing them with that leverage and the tools that they need to get where they want to be.
Well, it shows that you're very passionate and that you're knowledgeable and that people should consider working for you guys. I mean, you definitely. And if they wanted to learn more, is there a website to go
yep.
for the hiring?
Salesloft.com/careers.
Careers. And then I know you're looking for marketers, but I'm sure you're always looking for sales development people, right?
Yes. Everything is listed on the website.
Good stuff. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for being part of the
show. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.
This show was brought to you by Business Radio X's Content Concierge Service, helping smart marketers create and capture more content in less time. Go to brxcontent.com to learn more.